This is the scripture for this morning from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14. It says, just as a body, though it is one, has many parts, and all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So the body is not made up of one kind of member, but of many. This past Wednesday, I believe that we saw the breakdown of what many of us have come to believe, many of us have been led to believe, been told since as long as we can remember. We saw the breakdown of what we would consider a body much like the body that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians. We have been told, as have all the citizens of every empire and every kingdom and every nation from when time began, that our political assembly, our people, somehow constitute this unified body, right? Who have joined themselves together in cooperation and are guided by this kind of this spirit of this great endeavor that we have taken on. We've called it the Great American Experiment. We've called it all kinds of things, but we believed that's, I think what shocked so many of us is that we thought, wow, there's this body and it seems to be tearing apart. And this past Wednesday, I think what we really saw is something that if you looked back in our history, you would see it rising up again and again. You would see it showing itself, and that is this, that I'm not sure that this political assembly, the people called the United States, I'm not sure we are one body with one mind and one spirit. And the truth is, if you look back through our history, not just recently, but all the way back, probably from the first day we were founded, you would find that there are these groups of people, these masses of people that have regularly risen up, and they don't feel like they're a part of this body. At least they don't feel like they're being treated as a part of this body. And we have seen that this whole past year. We've seen it going back way past then. Amen? In fact, these groups of people, at times, they feel like they're outcasts. They feel like they're onlookers. They're fringe. Sometimes they refer to themselves as the disenfranchised. I would say they're kind of like the et ceteras in the conversation that is going on in our country. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes in a sentence, we'll be saying something and we'll have a whole list of things and we'll list out some of the important ones, and then a whole bunch of others are implied by this little phrase, et cetera. So oftentimes people are feeling like they're the et ceteras of this conversation. And so regularly we'll see these groups and they'll rise up and they'll revolt, and they'll have movements and protests, and some will be peaceful and some will not. In fact, this country was basically, it's founded by a revolution that was caused because the colonies felt like they were kind of being left out of the conversation. They had become that sideline to the conversation that was going on. And so we founded this country, and yet we have still found that there are many that consider themselves outside of this. You know, I believe that one of the greatest messages that we carry as members of the kingdom of heaven, as the people of God, as members of the body of Christ, is that in Christ, there are no et ceteras. Amen? There is no one who's on the fringe. There is no one who can be left out. There is no one who can be set aside and not missed in a vital way. We're going to find that God says that he has created this body in such a way that those who in this world, they may not have received much honor, but in his kingdom, they have received incredible honor and an incredible, a vital, an essential place in what he is doing and what he is saying through his church. In fact, one of the You know, one of the most powerful stories, one of the stories that I think hits every one of us most deeply that Jesus taught while he was here on earth was the story about the shepherd. The shepherd that goes out and he finds out that, you know what, 99 of my sheep made it back. 99 out of 100. 99%. I could go on and economically and business-wise, I'm not doing very, I mean, this is not bad at all. I got 99 of them, but he leaves the 99 to find the one. Because there is not one that doesn't count. There is not one that is not missed. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the one who fills us, who guides us, who shapes our thinking when we think about what does it mean to be the body of Christ. It's the same Spirit of that same shepherd. He says, I want you to know that in the kingdom of God, in the people of God, in the body of Christ, there are no et ceteras. There are none that are not worth mentioning. So this morning, I want us to think about that idea. I want us to talk about, I want us to look at Scripture and really soak in what does it mean to be the body of Christ? What does it mean to take on that identity and that awareness of that for myself, but also for all of those around me, there are no et ceteras in the body of Christ. Father, I pray that this morning, as we try to look into the mysteries of your word and the mysteries of your kingdom, the mysteries of your mind and your heart, that your Spirit would be here to clarify these things to us, God. Father, this morning, I know that I am a vessel. I am one who has been called by you to bring your word to these, your people, your beloved this morning. And so I pray that I would not get in the way of what you have to say to their hearts and to their minds, to remind them of who they are and of what they have been called to be and to do. So Holy Spirit, take this time and this place, wherever this time and place might be, and do your work in us to make us into your people and into that body that you have called us to be. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been putting together, you know, a lot of times it's a piece of furniture, sometimes it's like a little gadget or, you know, but you get to the end of it and you have pieces left over, right? And there's two times that this happens. You know, you might have a couple of screws left over, you might have, you know, a couple of bolts and nuts, you might have like a patch of something or some string or something, but you have it left over and you look down and at first it shocks you, but then you realize it's not because you messed up. Right? You follow the directions. If you have stuff left over because you messed up, you know, and you left out that one screw that holds the whole thing together, that's a whole other issue. We're not going to talk about that. Read the directions. But in this case, you read the directions and you still get to the end and you find out that the manufacturer, they just provided you with some extras. And they provided these extras in case maybe you lost a screw. Maybe they miscounted, and so they put some extras in. Maybe you strip out a bolt and you need another one. They want you to be able to complete this project, and so they give these extras. Those are what I would call the et ceteras of your project, right? And I have like drawers full over the years that I put together things, and I have drawers full of these extra pieces that come with all of these gadgets and this furniture and ceiling fans and, I mean, everything, right? And we don't know what else to do with them. We don't want to get rid of them because we might need them. So we throw them in the drawer down in the basement and there they sit. And we, when we move, which we've done quite often, what do? We dump it in a box and we put it in a new drawer when we get to the new place. Because we're still not sure that we might not, even though that ceiling fan stayed, you know, somewhere back in North Carolina or Kansas, right? But we still are like, I don't know, I might need this someday. So we drag it along with us. Those are the et ceteras. And they remain in this drawer for the longest time. And when we do that, you know, we finally one day we'll come down to that drawer and we'll go, you know, I gotta get rid of these things. And you look at them and you go, no, but maybe we could find another use for them. And they just sit there. Now here's the question though. How many times in our lives do we feel like we are the et cetera in our own life? Do you know what I mean? It may be like in our workplace. We show up every day and stuff goes on all around us and we know we're doing something. But it's like, we're not sure that, you know, I think these people might be able to get along without me here. They might do just fine. I'm not sure what I'm doing here. It may be in a relationship that we're in, that in that other person's life, you just feel like you're this add-on. They just keep tagging along because they don't know what else to do with you. They don't want to hurt your feelings, but they just kind of drag you along. Some people feel this way in their own families, where they show up and they don't feel that there's this connection, there's this vitality to it. They feel like these et ceteras. Sometimes in our community, like we talked about before, sometimes in our nation, we feel like we're on that fringe. How many times do we feel that others that are around us, they're the important ones? When you think about listing out the sentence in the list, they're the ones that need to be mentioned. They're the ones that summarize what this group does or who this is. How many times do we have that feeling that we're the ones who are stuck in that some drawer down in somebody's basement and the way that they think about us or the way that we're viewed? And unfortunately, I think that there are many times that we feel that when we think about our participation, our part in the body of Christ, that we are also that et cetera piece. We're just that leftover piece. I would venture to say that many of us, if not at times, if not all the time, feel like, yeah, if you're talking about the part of the body of Christ, I'm probably the appendix, right? I'm probably the tonsils. You know, as long as I just sit there and I don't cause too many problems, people put up with me, they're not sure what I do. But if anything goes wrong, if I start raising any kind of a ruckus, man, cut them off, throw them out, they're done. And the problem with that is that has some enormous consequences when it comes to not just that part of our life, but every part of our life. If we feel like when it comes to the things that God wants to get done, that we're just kind of this extra piece that's hanging out there, if we just feel like we're not necessary, then what that really means is, you know, I'm not really necessary. I'm not that important to God himself. When he looks down, he sees the important people, and I'm probably not in that category. And if God sees me that way, then of course other people would see me that way, right? Of course I'll be looked over. Of course I don't have any real purpose or meaning or essential. I don't have anything significant that I do in this life because I'm not doing anything significant. God didn't make me to do anything. God doesn't look at me that way. And we begin to see ourselves and actually when we see ourselves in that way, then we begin to say, well, then people are probably justified in the way that they're treating me. They're justified in the way that they're just kind of not paying attention to me because God doesn't even pay attention to me. I want you to hear this. One of the things that is powerful about the gospel is that it says that every single one of us, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what our status in this world, every single one of us is essential to God. That's why he created us. That's why he calls us. Essential. We're not a leftover word that God kind of left out of his sentence in the message he wants to speak to the world. We are a key part of that sentence. We are a key part of that message that he wants to communicate through us to this world. If we know that, I want you to think about that, because if we know that, that changes everything, doesn't it? If we know that God looks down at us and all of his attention, I mean, we fill his screen and we go, well, how does everybody fill? I don't know. That's God. But he says every one of us has that kind of attention from him, from his heart, from his mind, from his, he hears our prayers, he sees our situations, he is walking with each. However that omnipotent, eternal God does that, he says that every single one of us is in that. If we know that, if we know how important, how central we are in God's attention and his mind, it doesn't matter what other people say, does it? right? It doesn't matter how others might treat us. It doesn't matter what they think about how important we are, because we know how important we are, because God has told us how important we are to his plans and his works and his word that he's speaking. Amen? Do we know that? Because if nothing else, take that with you and let that sink in. Because we need to know that when it comes to the message that God is speaking, the sentence that he is writing out to this world through our lives and through this community called the church and in this thing called history, we need to know that there are none of us who are categorized, lumped into this category where we're not even mentioned, we're not even important. There are no et ceteras in the message that God speaks through his people and through his church. Every one of us is essential and important. And God tells us clearly that through the verses we read in 1 Corinthians 12 just now, in Ephesians 4, there's a whole section that talks about how important we are. In Romans chapter 12, there's a whole, throughout scripture, it tells how important each one of us are in this thing called his body. And in 1 Corinthians 12, our passage, it goes on and it says this, just because the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I don't get to do what a hand does, I'm not be as important as a hand, for that reason, I must not be a part of the body. Just because that's what the foot says doesn't make it any less a part of the body, right? Just because the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. This is saying that sometimes we look at others, we say, well, I'm not doing anything important like that person. So I must not be as important. I must be kind of in this drawer. So I'm not really a part of the body. It doesn't matter. Just because I'm not up there preaching like Van's doing, or playing like this worship team, or I'm not running some tech stuff like the tech team's doing, or I'm not working with kids like Lauren or like Steven's doing, just because I'm not doing that, I'm not discipling like Cheryl's doing, I'm not out there witnessing to people and they're coming to know Jesus, I must not be a part of the body. He says, in fact, if the whole body were an eye, we're doing just one thing, then where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed each of the members, each of you, God has placed into the body just as he desired, with the gifts and the callings that he has desired, the essential, important gifts. And then later he says this, so the eye can't look down and say to the hand, hey, I don't need you anymore, because you're not doing stuff like I do it. In the same way, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you anymore. He says instead, on the contrary, it's much more true that the members of the body which seem less important are most necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, these are the ones that we often give abundant attention. If you want an illustration of that, have you ever stubbed your toe? Right? Now we go through our whole day not thinking about our toe. Right? We go through months not thinking about our toes. But the moment that you're making that bed, right, and you kick it into that foot of that bed, and all of a sudden, everything in your body pays attention to your toe. Right? It is often that those members that we deem less honorable receive abundant attention. Why? Because they are a vital part of this thing called the body. He says, and so it is that God has composed his body, giving abundant honor to those members who lacked it most. We talked about that before. He brings those who had no stature, no standing maybe in this world, but he says, no, these are going to be the prime, these are going to be the ones that I work through the most. And he does this so that there will be no divisions in the body. There will be no divisions like what we see in our world, but that the members may have the same care for each other, so that if any one member suffers, the body suffers together and with it. And if any one member is honored, every other member rejoices with it. In this same way, you are Christ's body, and you are individually members, essential members of it. Paul, in this passage, he's highlighting two challenges that we have, right? Whether it comes to life or whether it comes to the body of Christ. The one challenge, the one kind of barrier that we hit is this, is where we think of ourselves as unimportant to others. He says, that's a problem. The other problem that he highlights here is when we think of others as unimportant to us. He says, that's a problem. Now, in this world, regularly, there are categories of people that are considered cast-offs and sidelined and not important. And it's from the very youngest of us, where we say, oh, we don't even need them. Even the unborn, we say, no, we just don't even need them. They're not important. All the way to the very oldest of us, we say, no, let's just put them maybe in a home somewhere. Let's just get them out. They're just causing problems, right? And the whole in between. So we have categories in this world, but Jesus, as Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, and he said very clearly, he said, if you start looking at others, any others, from the least of these to the greatest of these, if you look at any others, is not worth it, is not worth the time or the attention, is not mattering. That's when we start treating other people as expendable. People who God loves, people who God created in his image, we start treating them as if they don't matter, as if they can be cast to the side. And he said, when we start doing that, from that arises all kinds of evil. Murder, yeah. Genocide, prejudice, war, human trafficking, stealing, violence, slander, gossip, adultery, jealousy, hatred. And if we see, again, if we see ourselves, it's just kind of one of those cast-offs, then we say, well, of course, that's why people treat me like that. That's why I'm the target of that kind of poor treatment, that kind of evil treatment. But God has said to each of us, again, the gospel has said, each one of us has been deemed worthy. You know, something that stands out in the parables that Jesus taught. He taught this, the parable about the kingdom of heaven for us is like finding a treasure in the field. You go and you find this treasure and it's like, well, that's valuable, right? It's valuable in itself. Why is it treasure? Because everybody else knows it's valuable. That's what we find. But when he talks about himself finding us, he says it's like a merchant finding pearls. And the truth is, when it comes to pearls, pearls' values is set by the merchants, not by just everybody, not really. There's only so many people that are finding so many pearls, and they're the ones that are setting the price. They're saying, oh yeah, this pearl, this is worth. It says that merchant went out, and because of the value that he had, that he knew that pearl had, that he gave it, he sold all that he had in order to purchase that pearl. Not because of everybody was telling him that, but because of the value that he actually gave it as he went out and he sought that pearl. That's the way that God looks for us. And he says that each one of us is worthy of the full attention of his love and the full measure of the sacrifice that he made on the cross in order to buy us, in order to redeem us, to purchase us, and to rescue us from this twisted perspective and system of this world where there's some that are worth more than others. He says, I need to pull you out of that. Because again, in Christ's body, in the kingdom of God, in God's people, there are no cast-offs. There are no unnecessary parts and pieces. There are no et ceteras. You know, in our church logo, so this behind me is a version of our logo, right? And in that logo, what we see is we have this frame that's around it, and then we have this picture of water pouring down and splashing outward, splashing this way, splashing that way. Now that water that is pouring down, and part of what we're trying to do in this series is I'm trying to, again, give you guys some kind of content to put into this logo so you know what we're trying to say, this is who we are. And part of that is that water that comes down, that's God's spirit. That is that spirit that God generously and abundantly, he pours out down upon us. And the purpose of the Spirit of God being poured out is to pour in us and through us and to carry out the callings that we have. It's to empower us, it's to give us the resources and what we need to do what God has called us to do. The thing is, in this picture, you might get, I think that some of us might have this view that the Holy Spirit, when he comes down and he works, he kind of works like a ghost in this world, right? He just kind of, he shows up in this disembodied form and he haunts, you know, this world. It makes him feel kind of uneasy at times and things like that. But they turn around and he's not there, right? He's just kind of this invisible force that's at work. And when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, it never talks about the Holy Spirit that way. It says that the Holy Spirit, instead, he has chosen to work in and through us. He takes up residence in and through us. And so the Holy Spirit in his work is seen through the people of God. The Holy Spirit in his power is seen through the body of Christ. The love of God is seen, the face of Christ is seen through the body as we interact and as we love each other and as we love the world, as we splash outward. So God has said that each one of us, you know, in that, he says, well, so how does the Holy Spirit work out like that way? Well, each one of us has been given a gift. And in the same way that we are created in, uniquely at creation, each of us has an individual fingerprint. We have a different face. We have different DNA. In the same way that spiritually, when the Holy Spirit comes through us and works through us, he works in a unique way, an individual way. He says, each one of you is gifted and empowered by the Spirit, and he pours and he shows himself in a unique aspect of Christ. In fact, it says that none of us have all the gifts, right? None of us have all the aspects of Christ that are fully operational in our life at all times. None of us have all the powers and the callings of God so that together we can, but also that none of us is without the presence of God, if the Holy Spirit is working through us, is in us. And it also says that, you know, as the Spirit tries to make Christ known, Jesus in his fullness is not seen in any individual one as much as he is seen as when we come together. He says it's like a diamond that has different facets. I'm a facet, you're a facet. And they see the glory of that diamond only when all of us are brought together as the body of Christ. And how important that is. That we, yeah, I need to be the facet that God has called me to be in all the glory that I can that God gives me through his Spirit. But I need to also know that you are being that and you're going to be different than me, but that is exactly what you need to be. Because that is how Christ is seen in all his fullness, in the fullness of his beauty and his glory. And that's why our verses, it says, so in that way, for that reason, the body is not made up of just one kind of part. And he says there's two ways that we see these kinds. One is not just made up of one kind of person, and he doesn't show himself through just one kind of ministry or gifting or calling. In Paul's day, there were categories of people that are, some are noted here, and he says, you know, they saw each other in terms of, there were Jews and non-Jews, and they go, oh, wow, God is showing up through Jews, and he's making himself known through those who aren't even Jewish. There were slaves and there were free. He's making himself known through both, male and female. I want us to think about what are the categories that we put people in? What are the categories we see and how do those work out in our day? Rich and poor, does God show himself through both? Do we believe that? Do we believe that God shows himself through the educated and the not as educated, the black, the white, and the brown, and all of the vast array of people that are on this earth, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, the Green Party, the Independents. Do we believe that? That the Spirit of God pours himself through all of those? English speaking or not, fashionable or not, tech savvy or not. Do we really believe that these are the things that define who the body of Christ is? Or are these just the things that define what caused the divisions like what we saw this past week? Because that has nothing to do with us as the body of Christ. That kind of approach, that kind of antagonism, that kind of division has nothing to do with us. We believe that the Spirit of God can use all kinds of people, and he uses us in all kinds of giftings and callings to get his work done in this world. For that reason, later Paul would write the Corinthians another letter, 2 Corinthians 5. He says to the church in Corinth, the people of that church, he says, so we no longer recognize anyone according to the categories of this world. We no longer recognize anyone according to the categories of this world, because we know that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He has made all things new. And that each of us has been called as an essential part and gifted as an essential member in the body of Christ. We have been made an essential component of the message that God is speaking to this world. So the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, what is our part? What is my part? What is your part? What is the part that God has called you to? It seems that, you know, for most of us, God has called us not only to be a part of the body of Christ, that worldwide, you know, magnificent capital C, body of Christ, church, but instead he has also called us to be a part of this reflection, this aspect of this small part of the body of Christ that we call Christ Church. And in this congregation, he's going to be using our gifts and our abilities. And so when we look at that, we say, how has God called me? What has he called me to do and to be in this congregation, this church, this ministry? Because none of us, and I want you to hear this, none of us are bystanders. None of us are here to be just observers, to be audience members, right? I said, no, I have uniquely gifted you, and my Spirit pours through you in order to work something in that body so that you are just as essential to our growth, to our being effective in this church, to our reflecting the image of Jesus. You are just as essential to us and important. I mean, essential, vital to that happening, as we are to you in any way. Do we see the body of Christ? So what is my part? I think there are several things that we can do to start discovering that part. And I wanna lay out some of those steps that you can take. The first one is really quite easy, because for some of you to take that first step, we need to take that step to saying, okay, if I'm essential, I need to get engaged then with the body of Christ, amen? And I am inviting you to be engaged with this body of Christ. The first thing is this. Some of you, that means that all you need to do, just fill out a Connect card. And right now, if you get online, if you're online and you're watching on the big screen, I want you to pull back from that so that you have that chat again. And I want you to pull in that chat, and there's gonna be a button that pulls up and it says Connect card. And I want you to go ahead and click on that, because you have the opportunity to just give us some essential information so that we even know that you're here. If you say, God has called me to be a part of the body of Christ, and those of you who are sitting here, you can do the same thing. Just fill out a Connect card. We have them out in the back. Just fill out a Connect card so that we know how do we get. And some of you, you've moved, you've changed phone numbers. Just fill out a Connect card so that we can stay in touch, that we know who are the people that God has called to be a part of this place, because we need all of us if we're gonna make Jesus known. For some of you, this may mean that you need to get in there, you need to clean up some of the information that we have. We need pictures. You know, we can't remember all the names and the faces that go together. We need some pictures from you guys. We need some of you, we're gonna be asking for stories. How did you meet Jesus? We need to know more about you. What are some of the passions that you have? What are some of the experiences that you bring? We need to know that. That might be a conversation with leadership, and maybe that you call someone in the office, you sit down, you just make yourself known. For some of you, that's your next step. For some of you, it might mean that you get on there and you start saying, you know, what is it that God has called me to do? You know, some of you have been brought to this place as those who have given generously and underwrite so much and so many times the things that we do. You're generously giving here. Some of you are those who just gather people and drag them with you to this place. What is it that God has called you to be doing in this place, that broad category? For some of you, it's going to mean that you plug into a small group. You get connected with other people, that you get into a rooted group and grow in your faith. You get involved with the care center. You start kind of investing in the ways that God is showing himself. You start living out that connecting with others and growing in your faith in the ministry that God has called you to. For all of us, it will mean this. God has called us to be people of compassion and splash outward. All of us should be asking the question as we leave this place, God, who are those people in my life that I cross paths with? Who are those people that are those easy ones that I just reach out, that I show your compassion to? Is there someone that you want me to draw alongside of? Is there someone you want me to connect with? You guys, in this world, there are always outcasts, right? There are always those who are on the fringe. That's not supposed to be true in the body of Christ. In this body of Christ, there are no et ceteras. There are not one of us, not in us, not in those around us. And to be the body of Christ, we need to know that. You know what would truly change the world? What would truly change the world is not another protest, right? It's not going to be another protest. We've been having those for a long time. They don't change the world. You know what would truly change the world? Is that if we decided, you know what, we're going to start being the body of Christ. We're going to start loving others the way that he does. We're going to start seeing each other the way that he does. We're going to start living the way that he has called us to live and doing the things he's called us to do. Amen? Where there are no et ceteras. There are none who are passed by. Let's do that. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to be your people and to make Jesus known. Father, to do that, we know that we're not going to be able to keep the attitudes of this world and still show the face of Christ. So teach us instead to be your people, to make you known. Lord, go before us. Fill us with all your power, all your glory, so that we might fulfill and carry out those callings that you have on our lives, that we might be the body of Christ, that we might show your love and compassion to this world. Pray that we would take those next steps, that next step that's right in front of us, to make ourselves known, to become connected, to take our place in the body of Christ, and in the message that you are speaking to this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus for your glory by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Stand together as we close.